हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 28, Chapter 4, The Four Categories of Universal Annihilation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, an example is given, just as a lamp, the eye, and form are aspects of light element, and are non-different from light, which is their cause. So intelligence, senses, and sense objects are non-different from Brahman. One may doubt, but if cause and effect are one, and the effect is unreal, then the cause is unreal, since the effect is simply a transformation of the cause. End quote. But Brahman is completely different from their effects, and even from Prakriti, the cause of those effects. Footnote 5. Vritti. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Right, so, Krishna's working means the external energy is his energy. It's transforming. But the point is, the material energies come from him. It's eternal. It's unchanging. Right? Pradhan is unchanging. Right? Means the principle of Pradhan doesn't change. Every time you have creation, you still get 24 elements. Not that this time is 25, last time it was 23 and a half, you know, and next time it'll be 27. No, it's always the same.
Are those the same elements?
Are they the same elements? very clever. Of course, yes. They're always the same. That's the point. That's why we say chewing the chewed is exactly the same every time. They say, what do you call it? Old wine, new bottle.
Yes, yes.
But it's the same. It doesn't change. So it's always there, so it's unchanging. So the manifestations are unreal, and that's because the living entity wants to see things from an unreal perspective.
Yes, yes.
They want to think, I can enjoy Krishna's energy separate from Krishna, who the energy belongs to, and who is the enjoyer of that energy. Right? So... Sukadev Goswami continued. The three states of intelligence are called waking, consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. But my dear king, the variegated experiences created for the pure living entity by these different states are nothing more than illusion. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The jiva has various states, waking, dream, and deep sleep. So when we say sleep, that means dream. Right? And deep sleep, then that's no dream. These states are also false, means they're not connected with the living entity. This is explained in this verse. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep are called functions of intelligence. The variety created in the jiva, pratyag atmani, by states of consciousness, is false, maya matram, since it is a covering on Brahman. Right? So since we're dealing with this one aspect of universal annihilation, meaning liberation, right? So then we have to understand how all this being an illusion, giving that up, one comes to the natural state, so one is liberated. So then there's the destruction of the material consciousness, right? Because you have destruction, the occasional, of the every day of Brahma, right? Then you have the total destruction of the material elements, means they all merge back into the Lord at the end of the lifetime of Brahma, right? So now we're discussing that, but then when Krishna breathes out, the next creation, the living entities are there again, right? They're there again. So they're still within this material framework. So then the idea is how to liberate oneself from this so that there is no, one is not involved in the material anymore. That's by changing the consciousness. So one has to understand that what you're dealing with here is not real, meaning it's temporary. So it has nothing to do with the soul. But it has something to do with Krishna. Right? It's his energy. It's not Krishna as him personally. As Brahman and Paramatma, he controls this. This is a transformation of Brahman's Shakti. Right? And that's controlled by Paramatma. But it's still different from Krishna as a person. So when all this is understood, one turns one's attention to seeing things in relationship to Krishna as the person, and then takes up activities in devotion. That's real liberation. Right? Then the material existence is actually destroyed. You may be situated in the material world, having a physical body, but one's not actually here. One is actually on the transcendental platform. So one has to understand is all these things exist simultaneously. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that within the material, you have these three states of consciousness. You have these three, dimensions.
Yes.
So you have to go beyond that. Is the transcendental consciousness.
Yes.
That's in the fourth stage. So that's beyond the material. So there's no material anymore.
Yes.
Does this make sense? Now, when we're working in devotion, we know all this, but it's not that it's Krishna's energy. We engage in Krishna's service.
Yes.
But we know that the items of this world, in that they can give us pleasure on their own, that's an illusion. Right? That's the illusion. And the things that we're dealing with, the illusion there is that they're temporary. We say, this is a pot, but then you come back after some time and it won't be here. It won't be a pot anymore. You know, an elephant stepped on it, so it's not a pot anymore. Right? Maybe a nice flat thing you can put in the center of your dining table to put that, you know, preparation that you just took out of the oven on top of. Yeah, like that. But it won't be a pot anymore. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it's just with time, everything changes. And then at some point, all the elements themselves dissolve back into Pradhan, and that goes back into the Lord. So from that angle, then, it's illusion. So our thinking that I am this, that's illusion. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be able to tell the difference that what we're meaning here. So we're not discussing impersonal philosophy. Right? So why is taking here is because we're conscious, you know, sleeping and unconscious. So being in that state, we're able to perceive things. Everything comes in through the senses. We analyze them with the intelligence, right? The intelligence controls the senses. We analyze everything there. So the mechanical is all done by the intelligence. But depending upon our state of mind, then we identify with the spiritual or with the material. So if we identify with the material, then we're going to analyzing the concept of controlling and enjoying. That's illusory, because that's not our position. Right? But if we're analyzing all this in the context of its relationship to Krishna, now we're dealing with reality. But that's what makes the difference. That's why it keeps coming back to the intelligence. It gives another example, but it brings it to the intelligence. Because this is the perspective through which you're seeing everything. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, just as clouds of the sky come into being and are then dispersed by the amalgamation and dissolution of their constituent elements, This material universe is created and destroyed within the absolute truth by the amalgamation and dissolution of its elemental constituent parts. Excuse me. Shri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Non-difference of cause and effect in Parinamavad, philosophy of transformation of energy, was shown. Now the real existence of the Supreme Lord, the cause of the universe, which has beginning and end, is shown according to Arambhavad, philosophy of beginning or cause, in two verses, 26 to 27. Just as clouds are created and destroyed in the sky, the universe is created and destroyed in Brahman, right? Because the sky is Brahman here. The example of sky is used to show that the Paramatma is not contaminated by the universe, just as the sky is not contaminated by formation of clouds. The universe with its parts, such as a pot, with a beginning and an end, is not factual, through all time, since it has a beginning and an end. So when you're talking about this Arambhavad, you're talking about it has the beginning and end, that's why it's temporary. Mm-hmm. Right? But if we're talking about cause and effect, then we're saying that there's existence of both. Right, because the cause exists, therefore the effect exists. But because Arambhavad, because there is a beginning and an end, there that's the point of that's where the temporariness. So that's it's not factual, right? It's connection that you use it in the Lord's service that makes it factual, right? That's the factual aspect. But the thing itself is temporary. Does that make sense?
So this is true for everything.
It's true for everything.
It's factual only if connection to Krishna.
Yes. It all has that. But you use the intelligence because you're dealing with those who are interested in liberation. So they're going to be jnanis.
Yes.
And jnanis work in the intelligence. So you use a medium that they can relate to. Otherwise if you use potatoes, they may not understand. You know, the deep significance of a pomme frite.
Yes,
right, you know, very esoteric, very esoteric understanding. But because they're jnanis and renounced, they will not understand these seemingly, in their view, insubstantial topics.
Maybe not renounced to everything.
Yes. Or they're too renounced. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, it is stated in the Vedanta Sutra," right? We're not getting away from the Vedanta Sutra, right? "that the ingredient cause that constitutes any manifest product in this universe can be perceived as a separate reality, just as threads that make up a cloth can be perceived separately from their product." Right, so you can see Brahman separate from the product that it produces. Right? The Lord produces the material energy. You can see the difference still. Just as threads, you can tell the difference between threads and then the fabric that has been made from these threads. Right? Because thread still remains. Even you make fabric, thread still remains. Yes.
So can we say that there is all pervading Brahman and there is specifically manifested Brahman?
Means there's a transformation of the energies of Brahman that makes this specific manifestation. Because Brahman's always manifest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it always exists. It's just a matter of our being able to perceive it or not. Because everything being Brahman, it's a matter of perspective. Whether you can see everything as Brahman, you know, so everything's connected to Krishna, or we see things that Krishna is one thing and everything else is something different. You know, it's like you're at the temple, so that's Krishna and all that, but then when you go home, it's separate from Krishna, so now you do what you want in your house. That kind of thing. But when one sees everything's connected to Krishna, then there is no difference in consciousness of when you're at the temple and when you're not at the temple. You will always see everything connected to Krishna and how it's to be engaged in Krishna's service. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's the idea. No? Okay, footnote 6. Vriti, my dear Parikit, that Lord Balaram killed Denakasura is not a wonderful thing, considering that he is the unlimited personality of Godhead, the controller of the entire universe. Indeed, the entire cosmos rests upon him just as woven cloth rests upon its own horizontal and vertical threads. Right? The position of fabric is resting on the threads that make it up. Right? You call it fabric because it's put together like this, but it's just threads. Right? So in other words, the ability to see two things at once, that's what's important. Because otherwise, no, it's fabric, it's not threads, but it's made out of threads. You can see each individual thread. Right? So that's the point, is that if one has this understanding, then one can see Krishna in everything, literally. You know what I'm saying? So this level that we're discussing here, because of the liberation, we're only seeing up to the Brahman level. Right? Then those who have more knowledge can see it up to the Paramatma level. Then those who have more see it up to the Bhagavan level. Like the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, they see everything in connection with Krishna as Brajan, you know how you say? Yeah, what is it? Brajakumar, yes? Does that make sense? That's how they see. While in Dwarka, they'll see everything up to Paramatma. Does that make sense? Like that. And then the jnanis, they'll see up to Brahman.
So we can say, this is the three main level of consciousness, spiritual consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, that's all within the Turiya.
Turiya, yes.
Yeah, it has those aspects. Then when you're seeing that with devotion, that's prema. That's the fifth level. Because we can have this understanding and be situated, but then prema is then beyond that. Why? Because when you come to the state of bhava, you're in turiya. But then when that matures, then you come to prema.
Yes.
Like that. It's also, you can say, it's turiya, it's transcendental.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? Yeah.
When we say Krishna Chaitanya, consciousness of Krishna, means it's prema level?
Yes, Krishna consciousness means that we're talking about prema. But in any case, it starts at just being aware that there's someone bigger than us, right?
Yes.
We have to give up the idea that the soul is Mahan, right? That we're the great one, right? We're good?
Small detail.
Yes. 1/10,000th the tip of the hair detail. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The cause, Brahman, of the parts, universe, is shown to be factual in this world, O King, since even without parts, the cause is perceived separately, just as the threads of a cloth are perceived separate from the cloth. This has been stated in the seventh canto. Non-difference of conception is seeing the effect and the cause as one, like threads related to a cloth, since all these are unreal, arising from misconception. Right? So, the factualness is because it's this basis on Krishna. Right? Being a transformation of Krishna's energy, it's factual. But at the same time, if you don't see it in connection to Krishna, it's illusion. Because there's no such thing as Krishna's creation without Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, that they go together. Him being the creator, there's the created. This conception allows one to realize oneness of Brahman. Sukadeva Goswami. Right? So the oneness of Brahman means Brahman is everything. But there's variety within Brahman. That's the whole point. Is this Krishna's non-dual, but there's variety. Right? Because we take it, well, it has to be non-dual or a variety. You can't have both. But that's the point of achintya. It's inconceivable that they both are at once. That's just the way. That's why we have to accept authority. Right? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Anything experienced in terms of general cause and effect must be an illusion, because such causes and effects exist only relative to each other. Indeed, whatever has a beginning and an end is unreal. Right? So general cause and effect. When you see it connected to Krishna, that's a different thing. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. According to Vivartavad, theory of illusion, just as the effect of Brahman, the universe, is unreal, so Brahman as the cause is also unreal. What is perceived as cause and effect is perceived through error, since they are mutually dependent. Right? Because if you're saying it, one is caused by the other, so if this is illusion, that makes that illusion. Right? That's what the mundane intelligence tries to do. Right? Because Brahman being beyond the intelligence, you can't understand it in this by logic. Right? Means because the Lord is logical, therefore the explanation will be logical, but it's not through logic you can understand the Lord. Right? Krishna is logic, therefore you can explain. But it's only if there's devotion can you actually understand. Right? The meaning is this: just as one mistakes a rope for a snake out of ignorance, the rope is the cause and the effect, snake, is false. So Brahman is mistaken to be the universe out of ignorance. How can Brahman be the cause when it's dependent on the effect, the universe, which does not exist? Right? So then they're separating the two. Right? So you understand? So the rope and the snake. You see the rope, you think it's a snake. So the rope, being the cause, gives the effect that it's a snake. It's not a snake. So therefore, it's illusion. Right? But the rope exists. Right? So then the point comes is that Brahman is the cause, even though the material world is the effect, is temporary, that has that aspect of illusion to it. Right? Because of the temporariness. Because if you're working on the eternal platform, temporariness is a fault. For us, we're going, you know, we're looking at what's the big problem. Right? But if it's like this, the whole universe, the whole creation, maintenance, and dissolution happens in 3/4 of a second for Mahavishnu. So we can understand half of 3/4 of a second, right, is the creation. I mean, it means less than that is creation and maintenance. And then there's the dissolution. So we're talking about that the whole manifestation is less than 3/4 of a second. Does that make sense? So that's a problem. Now, would you consider something valuable? If I say, okay, for half of 3/4 of a second, right, then you can, I say, then you can have $1 billion. So are you rich? Will you consider yourself rich? You would like to, but you have to, like, everybody's thinking about it. Well, how could we stretch it out? But no. You understand? It's not. Isn't it funny?
It's like a number on the computer screen just appears and disappears.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you open your thing in your account, you have $1 billion, you go, hey, hey, who's that? I had $1 billion. Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. No, I had it was there, I saw it. No, no, yeah, yeah. What time did you go to bed last night? Oh, you didn't go to bed last night. Oh. No, no. Yeah. Does that make sense? So therefore, you don't count it as real. It exists, but it's not real. Right? So if you can bend your head around that, then you're doing fine. It exists, but it's not real.
Yes. In Mahabharata, this pastime comes when Lomasa Rishi, he has the benediction. I think he can live for 7 days of Brahma, something like that.
7 days of Brahma, okay.
So then when he comes, when he Pandavas meet him, he says, don't worry much about this material world. Like, he doesn't even have a home.
Yeah,
he says
he
that,
can.
What is the, like, no, it's material world is temporary. That's why he doesn't even want to build a home.
Oh, okay.
He lives for 7 days of Brahma.
It wasn't his first day. Probably wasn't his first day.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we understand. So, in other words, they're bringing up an actual factual point, but they're misapplying it, the Mayavadis. So, we're talking about this merging into Brahman. Then the element is there. So for us, merging into Brahman means situated on the transcendental platform. Mm-hmm. So you don't disappear as an entity. It's like you merge into the crowd. You're still there in the crowd. Right? So you're situated on the transcendental platform, not on the material platform. So in that way, you can say you're merged in transcendence. Krishna even uses the term. Right? But you're absorbed in Krishna. Because he's transcendence. Because if you merged in transcendence, means you're absorbed in the Lord. Mm. We're too early in the morning. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Although perceived, the transformation of even a single atom of material nature has no ultimate definition without reference to the Supreme Soul. That's the point. There's no definition of it. Seeing it in connection with the soul, we can say a definition. Oh, that's this, you know, this atom, and it's a, you know, this, you know, thing. It's this here on the, you know, on the chart, and you know, it's got this name, and it has, you know, there's all kinds of little numbers and stuff below the thing on the chart and all that. You've all seen the charts, right? No, I haven't seen the charts. You know what charts I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You have the, I don't know what they call them, that the nuclear physicists and that have a chart with all the elements on it. Starts with hydrogen
periodic
up in the corner.
Periodic
table, yeah. So that's the point, periodic. Occasionally it's there, right? And then Krishna breathes in, and then it's not. Yes, so this periodic table. And there's all kinds of stuff there. But it has no real definition unless it's referred to the Lord. Otherwise, you can speculate on it and come up with this and that and come up with so many other things. And then, you know, it all changes. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Okay. To be accepted as factually existing, something must possess the same quality as pure spirit. Eternal, unchanging existence, right? So that's the thing of seeing it as Brahman, all as Krishna. Then you're going to see the eternal aspect, but its manifestation is changing.
Yes.
So that aspect will drop away. Right? Just like you use your car to drive to the temple. You get the eternal benefit from that. You're engaged on the transcendental platform. But with time, because the car is not also eternally existing, that will fall away. But the service will remain. Right? So everything in connection with the Lord, then that has this actual definition. Right? There is no material duality in the absolute truth. The duality perceived by an ignorant person is like the difference between the sky contained in an empty pot and the sky outside the pot. Right? They think that's different. So that's the point, is even though they're monists, they're seeing it as different. Our point is it's the same. Therefore, you have the living entity in the body and you have the Supreme Brahman. They're the same. Right? But just as you can understand that the volume is different, it's the same substance. So the volume of the living entity is different. You know what I'm saying? They're the same. You don't make a difference. or the difference between the reflection of the sun and water and the sun itself in the sky, or the difference between the vital air within one living body and that within another body. Right? You think it's different vital air. It's the same vital air. According to their different purposes, men utilize gold in various ways, and gold is therefore perceived in various forms. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inaccessible to material senses, is described in various terms, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. Right? So, Vedic is the standard, and if you're not describing it Vedic, then it's called ordinary. Why? Because it's changing. Vedic, then, is based on authority. It's always that same definition. And ordinary, so anytime you see the word used ordinary, that means not Vedic. So you're always dealing with that. So this non-Vedic or this ordinary is always there. There's always living entities who are absorbed in a non-Vedic perspective. Right? So they have a non-Vedic philosophy, but they may follow the culture. And then you have those who also don't follow the culture. And you can have, as a beginning stage, someone who accepts the philosophy, but not the culture. Right? Like that. So, but the point is that if it's not Vedic, it's ordinary. For us, it may be very great, but for someone else, they don't care. They really don't. Does that make sense? Yeah.
In Kali-Gadri's barbarian.
Yes, yes, the predominance. I was thinking about that. It's also predominance means they're the ones that are known.
Ah, yes.
You also have that. Yes. One you can have is by volume.
Yes, yes.
But probably more important than by volume is who's the prominent in society.
Yes. Yes.
Right, so then in the Satya Yuga, the Brahmins are the prominent. So even if there's other natures, they're the prominent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what's respected. When you come down, it'll be Brahmins and Kshatriyas, that combination, because that makes your Varnashram work.
Yes.
Right? Then in the Dwapara, then the Kshatriyas are prominent, because they're the one doing great things and all these different things like that. And the Brahmanas aren't as prominent. Right? Then you get into the Kali Yuga, then it's the Shudras and the Barbarians are prominent.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. Yes. So, yes. So basically, yeah. So in other words, if the Shudra is a little cultured, then you call them the Shudra, and if a Shudra is not cultured, you call them a barbarian.
Yes.
Yeah? Right.
This is what we study in school.
Yes, yes. All the varieties of barbarians. And who's got a little more culture than the other. Okay. So, in the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inaccessible to material senses, is described in various terms, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. How does one conceive of oneness? There is no duality in the Supreme Truth. If one considers duality in the absolute, one is ignorant. An ignorant person, on seeing two pots with cavities, thinks the first pot has some space in it, and the other pot has different space in it, right? But it's all the same space. You know, space is the same. It's not that it's a different space. We identify it, but it's the same space. Does that make sense? You have ether. It's one ether that happens to be in both places. It's not a different ether. Is that... we catch that, or...
Yes.
We're still on the... what do you call it? Warsaw Syndrome. No?
Syndrome?
Warsaw Syndrome? Explained the other day. Where you say these technical philosophy and everyone sits there and goes, it's like, makes no sense. Right, yeah. Let me think about that. Oh, I call it Warsaw Syndrome because that's the first place I observed it. You know, because other places you get one or two people. There, the whole audience had it. I was impressed. The first time I brought up about primary and secondary and how you have to see, like, it was like I was talking in Swahili or something. You know, like that.
It's a universal syndrome.
Yeah. Huh?
It's a universal syndrome.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Similarly, on seeing two lamps, an ignorant person thinks that the first lamp is one fire, and the second lamp is a different fire. But the element fire is one thing. It just is manifest in two places, but it's still the same fire.
What are we trying to prove here?
What are we trying to prove? Is that when you understand that everything is Krishna, that then constitutes this third category of disillusion. Then the material consciousness is dismantled. So it's being discussed in the connection with jnanis, because that's where you get the mechanics. Because as soon as we say it's all Krishna, then you know, we'll accept that. Like if I say everything's Krishna, therefore there's not different, then we'll understand that. But when we talk about the mechanics of what's happening, that's happening on the platform of jnana.
Yes.
That's where then we get confused. Or maybe confused means you have to be able to see two things, so you can't see anything,
yes.
So that is just the end.
No confusion.
Hmm?
No confusion, only one ignorance.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. I thought this class was in English. That makes sense? So we're discussing how that works. So it's just, this is the technical detail of what the message that Krishna sent with Uddhava to the gopis in Vrindavan about he is everything, therefore seeing him in everything, you can always remember him and that way never be separated from him.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? But this is just the technical aspects of how that works.
You were saying, right, that Krishna would be the underlying principle of everything.
Yes, that's the whole point. He's the underlying principle, and because of that, just like here, you know, when it talks about fire, fire is the underlying principle. It's the same fire in the two flames.
Yeah.
Or ether, or space, is the underlying principle in the space in two pots. It's not that it's different space than space. It's not that there's space, and then there's the space in the pot. And that's we, in ordinary discussion, we'll call it like that.
Yes, because we buy space.
Yes, yes. Especially above your place. Right? Remember that. We were just in, last time when we were in London, that was the whole thing, is that the guy that had the building sold all the apartments to everybody, so that way they all own it. But he, without telling them, he kept ownership of the space. Because that's a new thing. Previously, as you buy the building, you have the space. But now you can actually separate it. You know, I'm sure that there's even space below the building and all this and that. And so he was saying, so therefore, I'm going to build on the roof, since it's in the space, above the roof, all whatever I want. He wants to put up there, and he wants, I think, to do, what do you call it? The solar panels and this whole thing, and make money, you know, and do the grid and do all that, because that space is his. You've only got the roof.
Yes.
And so then they were all bewildered and everything like that. What are we going to do? And this guy and this and that. And then you say, that's fine. He can do that. But the problem is since his space, his stuff is going to be resting on their roof, they're going to charge him rent.
Yes.
And then he dropped it. And then I think he opened up the discussion for buying the space. You know, because they have to walk through their door and go up their stairs to get to his space, and they will charge him by the step. You know, so, yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that we get this. In ordinary dealings, then you deal like that, because that's how you do. You deal with all the different. But at the same time, it says all Krishna, because that's why it works. Space in one place works the same as it does in another, because it's the same. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's the point. We have the cat over here, and it'll act the same as a cat somewhere else.
Yes.
No, not the cat in the bathroom.
Huh?
Not the cat.
No, but they're cats. You can call them over. You can do. Oh, that's different. That's because they're born in Mayapur, but still the nature of catness is still them. I still like to sit on your lap, huh? Yeah. But they'll sit on your lap and listen to class. That's the, that's a Mayapur cat. Right? Other cats, no. But I can't say that about the dogs like that. I see Mayapur dogs, they still don't like philosophy. Yes.
Maharaj, this principle is very prominently understood in the Satya Yuga. That's why people...
Yes, that's why they work on the transcendental platform. They have no material desire.
Yes.
They go through and do whatever aspects they do because they're in the material world, but their absorption is in transcendence.
Yes.
Right?
So that's what it means that we get back to the golden age means just change the consciousness.
So, yes, so if you change the consciousness, then within Kali Yuga you can have a golden age. You know, en masse. Whoever, you know, for whoever takes it up. For whoever doesn't, they'll be in Kali Yuga. And same way, it even says that individual can take it up, and they'll be in Satya Yuga, even though everybody around them will not be.
Yes.
Right? So you're the only one in your house that's in Satya Yuga, and everyone else is in Kali Yuga.
And that's how, like, Kalki is born from a devotee. Now, how
Who?
Does it remain? The Kalki avatar is born from a devotee. How does a devotee remain unless he's having that consciousness?
Yes, yes. So it's just there. There'll always be something.
Yes.
Means at any time it's always there. It's just the golden age is finished, that the Sankaran mission, then it's the time for those who are not interested in God consciousness. Because if you're interested in God consciousness, why would you want to be here after that time? Right? It's just, it's not very favorable. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah. Or on seeing prana in one body and another body, he will think it is different prana. Right? The life force is the same. That's why you can perceive the same transformations of the life force in the different living entities. Because it's one life force. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Though at the time of creation, the universe is seen to support various actions, the jnani should know that there is only one Brahman. Right? That's what you're trying to get to. By various fabrications, gold appears as earrings or bracelets, right? But it's still gold. By common words and Vedic verses, the Lord is described in many ways. Does that make sense? No? Sukadeva Goswami continued. Although a cloud is a product of the sun, and is also made visible by the sun, it nevertheless creates darkness for the viewing eye, which is another partial expansion of the sun. Similarly, false ego, a particular product of the absolute truth, made visible by the absolute truth, obstructs the individual soul, another partial expansion of the absolute truth, from realizing the absolute truth. Okay. You got that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One may ask, everything is Brahman because everything is the effect of Brahman. How can the jivas, portions of Brahman, be covered by ahankara, the effect of Brahman, which is illusory? And being covered, how do they become bewildered? An example is given. The product of the cloud, of the sun, is a cloud. Thus clouds are manifest by the sun. They cause a covering of the eye, blocking the sun. Though the eye is a portion of the sun as well, right, because of the fire, right? Similarly, ahankara, an effect of Brahman, binds up the jiva, a portion of Brahman, right? Because the jiva is a part of, is expanding from Brahman, right? Yeah. Atma bandhanaha means the jiva binds himself. So if you want to know who hit you on the head with a hammer, it's yourself.
Someone may say, Yo-Yo, that because ahankara is an effect of Brahman, it is Brahman who is binding the jiva, but then it has been refuted.
Yes, no, because the jiva binds himself by his desire. Because otherwise, that ahankara is also just an aspect of Brahman. But it's only because the jiva then wants to see things separate from the Lord, therefore he has this ahankara. Just like the material energy is there, and in the spiritual world they don't deal with it. But if you put yourself under material consciousness, then you deal with it. So it's all part of Krishna's creation, because there's the front of Krishna, there's the back of Krishna. So all these things are part of the back. Right? Right. Not that it is the back, but they're expanding from that side. If you wonder where they... Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the cloud originally produced from the sun is torn apart, the eye can see the actual form of the sun. Right? So that's the disillusion we're talking about here. Right? This third kind of disillusion. Similarly, when the spirit soul destroys this material covering of false ego by inquiring into the transcendental science, he regains his original spiritual awareness. My dear Parikit, when the illusory false ego that binds the soul has been cut off with the sword of discriminating knowledge, and one has developed realization of Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Soul, this is called Atyantika, or ultimate annihilation of material existence. Right? The jnanis who don't see it in relationship with the Lord, they only see up to Brahman, then they don't get an ultimate. So you can say it's Atyantika, but it's temporary. And as we see, temporary means material. So we don't actually count it as actual liberation. But because it's in that context, it'll be called liberation. But then this will be called real liberation, because this is actual. So, yes.
Like Prabhupada put the whole philosophy in this one sentence, that aligning one's desires with the desires of Lord actually is called liberation.
Mm. Mm. Yes.
So ultimately, the whole technique is, or the whole mechanics is because of the desire of the Lord, and the desire of the jiva to be separate from the Lord.
Yes, separate. So if you align it with the Lord, then it'll take on the spiritual. If you align it not with the Lord, just yourself, then... Yeah, because it's yourself is desire for yourself. That means that's why you're the cause of material existence. But it's not being bound by something else. Because we want to do whatever we want, but because of the results of the effects of doing whatever we want, we're bound. We get bound by that. And then we complain we're being bound. Right? So all we have to do is give up this consciousness, and then one is transcendental. So... Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, when the ahankara, a covering on the jiva, is destroyed, one realizes Brahman. This is explained through an example. When the cloud is destroyed, the eye sees the sun in its true form. The human eye, and not the eye of the owl, sees the sun. Similarly, the eye of the jnani who has some bhakti sees Brahman, and not the person without bhakti. Bhaktya aham ekaya grahya. I am only achieved by bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. When ahankar is destroyed, one realizes Brahman. So when you understand you're the soul, not the body, that's when you understand the transcendental position. But it's only when there's bhakti that you can actually understand this. So some bhakti will give you that some understanding. But the point is why do we say that then these jnanis on the material are material and not devotional? Because they only use the bhakti to get that realization. Once they have that realization, then they don't care for serving the Lord anymore. Just like the fruitive worker may worship the Lord to get their results, but once they get it, they don't worship the Lord anymore. Right? So therefore, even though they used bhakti to gain their position of liberation, after gaining it, they don't continue. So then, since they're not connected to the eternal, they will fall. Right? Because they're connected to Brahman, but they don't see Brahman connected to the person, so they don't actually understand Brahman. So that's material. So understanding only Brahman separate from Krishna, that's material. Right? So it makes sense. But you're situated transcendentally. You know, just like you can be here and be transcendental, you can be there and be transcendental. But it's only when you are in a relationship with the Lord, as Prabhu was saying, when you bring your desires in line with Krishna's desires and do everything connected for Krishna's pleasure, then that's real liberation. You don't come back. Right? Because it says once going there, that means the spiritual world, not Brahman. You're already in Brahman.
Yeah. You say that the effects of bhakti are eternal.
And when the effects of bhakti, yes.
Yeah, and when the jnanis, they use the jnana for their own purpose. So because the intention is wrong, that is the reason why the effects are non-eternal or temporary for them.
No, but when we say the effects of bhakti are real, is liberation bhakti?
No.
So then why are we expecting that to be eternal? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just like the karmi. He worships the Lord to get a material benefit. But the point is that worship of the Lord, that may remain as a jnata sukriti. But the benefit he got from that worship, that's going to be temporary. So just as he turned to the Lord there to get his material benefit, when his material benefit runs out, there's a chance he'll turn to the Lord again. And slowly, slowly like that. And then eventually at some point they'll see, you know, there's something more. They may, if they're sincere, they'll meet the devotees, then they find out the real position. Verses 35 to 38. Nitya da, or continual destruction. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So we're clear on that third level. Atyantika. Right? Okay. Nitya da, or continual destruction. Sukadeva Goswami continued, experts in the subtle workings of nature, O subduer of the enemy, have declared that there are continuous processes of creation and annihilation that all created beings, beginning with Brahma, constantly undergo. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, this verse speaks of the nitya pralaya, destruction at every moment. Sukadeva Goswami continued, all material entities undergo transformation and are constantly and swiftly eroded by the mighty currents of time. The various stages of existence that material things exhibit are the perpetual causes of their generation and annihilation. These stages of existence created by beginningless and endless time, the impersonal representative of the Supreme Lord, are not visible, just as the infinitesimal momentary changes of position of the planets in the sky cannot be directly seen. Right? That's why they'll give, you know, a degree like that, because the infinitesimal you can't see. So they don't worry about it. You know, it's just like on time. We deal with, for ourselves personally, with the nimishas, the shortest. Because that moment, that's less than a moment, you don't say, well, I had half a moment there. You know, less than that, it's just not perceived.
Right? As we also saw, the planets, just within a year we can perceive, but the sages, those stars, it is in hundreds of years that they change little position.
Yeah, then slowly they adjust over like that. So they can relate to that. That's why we have our time. And then there's the bigger time. So of all the different kinds of time, I think there's seven different kinds of time. We only work with four of them. Because three of them are beyond. You know, the forefathers' time, the demigods' time, and Prajapati's, the Brahma, like this. We can't deal with that. Because it's so big, it has no meaning to us. Does that make sense? So we only work within what works within our sphere. You know, so the year of the sun, the year of the moon, the civil time. You know, like when we say, you know, from sunrise to sunset, we count these as, you know, the three. That's civil. Right? But the moon moving 360, it means 1 degree around Meru, that's a solar day. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's how then it works. Yeah, you know, and then the moon is the same thing. like that. Then, because we're used to civil time being the time, but we say it's solar time, but it's not. It's civil time. So that makes sense. And then the fourth one is that of Brihaspati, you know, the 12-year cycle. So then, so much within the Dharma and everything works on that 12-year cycle. You know, it's like a course of study is 12 years. You know, there's different things connected with the 12 years. So, yeah.
After 12 years, relationship, you know, seems to be established between people or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Like teacher and a student, yeah, and a couple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, very nice. Like that. It's just it's a natural. So that's the maximum time frame that we go up to. That we use, but that will only be used in the Vedic context. Outside, in the ordinary, they won't use it. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. In this way, the progress of time is described in terms of the four kinds of annihilation: continuous, occasional, elemental, and final. Right, so when in the beginning he put the continuous at the end, because we generally don't think about, once we understand what is annihilation and that and temporary and all this, then we can understand continuous, because continuous, we'll look at it, no, but every moment something's created, no, at every moment something's destroyed. That's actually what's going on, you know. That's the problem. If it's just being created, okay, but it's being destroyed, so like that. So continuous, always going on. Then occasional means Brahma's day. Elemental means the end of Brahma's life. And then final means being absorbed in Krishna. Right? Attaining the transcendental position. Verses 39 to 43. Summary. Sukadev Goswami continued, "O best of the Kurus, I have related to you these narrations of the pastimes of Lord Narayana, the creator of this world and the ultimate reservoir of all existence, presenting them to you only in brief summary. Even Lord Brahma himself would be incapable of describing them entirely." Because you can say, no, but, you know, why aren't you saying in the, you know, everything? Because he's pointing out, even Lord Brahma wouldn't be able to say in entirety. So he's speaking what it matches for the time that is there with Prikkat Maharaj and his position, and for the time that they have. Right? You know, and even as it is, it takes us, you know, 6 years to go through it, right? You know, they only had 7 days.
Right? And I think Brahma was listening to Shukadev. No.
I think they all came, yeah. No, everybody came.
Yeah.
I mean, that, there's that pastime with the, was it Hamsavahan? Where Lord Shiva borrowed Brahma's, you know, swan to come and to hear. I'm not sure how Brahma got here then. You know, you go out and then your car's gone, you know, the kids have taken it, right? You know, like that.
So you stop somebody. Huh? You stop somebody on the way.
Yeah, you catch a ride with someone else. Right?
Or do you think he had only one swan?
Maybe he has more than one swan. But. Oh, she has her swan, so he has to catch a ride right with her. But she gets the good seat because it's her swan, right? You know. You can sit on the tail feathers. Sukadeva Goswami, okay. Even Lord Brahma himself would be incapable of describing them entirely. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. Right? So, cultivating for Krishna means for cultivating hearing and chanting about his transcendental pastimes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.